Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Dave and I are all about the God story, and FourthStream.com is dedicated not only to the facts about the God story, but the animating life in the Word of God as well.
Psalm 2 is placed strategically to introduce the concept of the Son or Messiah, the King and Deliverer of Israel. What a great description of the world we live in as Psalm 2 unfolds. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed one, saying, "Let us tear their bonds from us and cast away their cords." Modern American philosophy is rooted in a rejection of a king over the earth. The idea that we would be accountable to anyone is repugnant to the evolving godless mind and heart. We go to great lengths to deny the raw truth about humanity, and we reject the supernatural in everything which is made and work hard to make God small. The warning of Psalm 2 is clear. "Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, that He may not become angry, and you perish in the way. For His judgment may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in Him." This is why Jesus could explain who He was from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. From the moment our Creator shed blood to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness, God would not stop until He had offered a perfect sacrifice to cover our sin. Embracing the Father Son appears to be the only hope we have to escape the inevitable.
In the expanse that exists outside of time, an interesting conversation unfolds. "We will make them in our image, in our likeness. They will revere and honor us. We will give them authority over every creature on the earth. They will have offspring and live and enjoy their growing garden forever, until the entire earth is filled with their generations." The archangels Michael and Gabriel nodded as they heard their sovereign's choices spoken into existence. They have seen it before in timeless perfection. His intellect, His creativity, His heart, His sheer power are beyond even their belief. There is simply no describing the glory of the One speaking on the throne of light. At the Creator's right hand, the Son smiles. He then looks over the churning deep into a future that only He and His Father could conceive or comprehend. His heart bursts with love for the One who is His infinite friend. There was nothing that He would not do to bless His Father. Absolutely nothing. And it all happened just as the living God had spoken. The creation was breathed into existence. Time means nothing to the Father of all living. The infinite galaxies are His playground. The imprint of life, the very building blocks of life, are just the tip of the designer's mind. A mind that knows no limits. As the world is birthed, another angel looks on. Inside, he seethes with masked contempt for what is unfolding before his powerful eyes. He is one of only three: Gabriel, Michael, and himself. He is Satan, son of the morning. He is one of the three who covered the living God's holiness. His beauty and power are eclipsed only by the two who are on the throne. Deep within his great heart, cancerous seeds are growing bitter roots. He will find a way. One day he will claim the throne he so deeply desires. What happened in the garden was terrible on a huge scale. Adam and Eve took the bait offered by the Satan serpent. No longer would they walk with the Father in the cool of the day. No longer would the master plan for cultivating the earth occur. Now access to the eternal tree in the garden would be denied to the sons of Adam. Life would yield pain and thorns and death. Animals died, blood was shed, coverings were made. As the deep dark moved over the souls of men, the Son set His face to do what needed to be done. Now His relationship with His eternal Father would exact a huge price. Sinless, holy, pure, and righteous God would now have to experience the unthinkable. He would now need to build a bridge back from death. If not, all of the sons of Adam would be eternally separated from their Creator. The cost to humanity had been incalculable. The four living creatures and the 24 elders around the throne lifted up their voices. As the innumerable angels joined in, the sound was so immense, it shook heaven like an earthquake. Now billions of eyes prepared to watch, pray, and engage in the war. Satan had claimed his kingdom. The living God would buy them back with his own blood. The time would come soon for the gift. Centuries of preparation began. The living Father created a people from one man to prepare the soil until the appointed day. He set his affection upon a man called Abraham and his wife Sarah. Through their descendants would come the human king, the deliverer of the souls of the sons of Adam. This people would see his glory, know his name, and show his life to the rest of the world. He gave them the God story to care for and to give to the rest of the world. He sent them kings and prophets to tell them the truth about themselves and to invite them to escape death by crossing the bridge of light. As this nation grew, two-thirds of the angels led by Michael and Gabriel watched the affairs of men and fought the beginnings of the war with Satan. His power among men became great. The earth was his. His kingdom seethed with satisfaction. His glory was growing. His day was coming. For thousands of years, mankind multiplied. Nations were birthed, and men, women, and children were dying. The garden had become a death trap abyss. Each generation would find renewed opportunity to find light, and each generation rejected the light. And the cycle of life and death was only broken by men and women who found the living God and the bridge of light. When the final prophet had spoken, heaven became silent for 400 years. Everything was ready for the fullness of times. Already the Father's hand had moved and his Son had stepped forward. A chosen young Jewish woman was implanted with the seed of God. The Holy Spirit did his work. The sinless sacrifice had to be brought into the world. Without God's blood, the sons of Adam were hopelessly lost. Without Jesus' blood, forgiveness could not be won. The price was more than anyone in heaven could have dreamed. Michael and Gabriel looked on in awe. God's Son was going to die. Satan waited expectantly for the birth of the Sun Child. He would have to be killed, of course. There could only be one king over the earth. When the child was born, he would be there, and the Sun Child would surely die. The Son's 34 years on earth were complete. He looked at the heavens, and in intense anguish, he said, "It is finished." Michael and Gabriel looked on silently as the Father turned his face from his Son Child on the cross. The wall of eternal separation between the living God and all mankind was torn from top to bottom. The bridge of light was crossing the abyss and opening heaven's door. Now the silence around the throne was deafening beyond human comprehension. 3 days later, in the stone grave, the figure in grave clothes began to move. Michael and Gabriel stood by as the breath of life began to sustain him once again. Though the body was no longer dead, the deep scars were as plain as the light of day on the risen Son's hands and feet. The death angel had failed. He had been cheated in a huge way. The ancient kingdom of Satan had begun to crumble. Graves were opened. Dead God followers came to life and walked the streets of Jerusalem. The risen Son Jesus appeared to hundreds as he demonstrated his supreme power over life and even death itself. Over 2 millennia had passed. The first Christ followers had fulfilled their assignment. The good news of the King and Kingdom had taken root and grown in the world. the Bridge of Light had seen a steady stream of millions of souls. And as the last living soul crossed the bridge, the heavens ripped back like a scroll. The faithful and true warrior rides through the skies of the earth. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and on his thigh his name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, Assemble for the great supper of God. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let the one who hears say, Come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. There are questions to which you owe yourself answers in your quest to find a satisfied mind. So let's push aside secondhand information and assumptions and come to your own conclusions. Now, I believe that the God story interprets itself. That's what thegodstory.com is all about. I'm not trying to convert you or trying to prove that the Bible is true, but I'm reaching out to thinkers like you who ask your own questions and who wish to help other people do the same. Here are a few things to think about as we approach the God story. We are hardwired for connection with our Creator. Macroastronomy reveals immensity. Microbiology reveals incredible attention to detail. Everything in science and nature scream design and designer. God has spoken, and He is speaking in nature, through writings, and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not begin to exist in 0 AD. He created the world. Don't mistake His human appearance as disconnected from His forever existence. God does have a Son, and He is the King of the earth. The God story and science are in 100% harmony and agreement. It's scientists and theologians who struggle to connect faith and scientific reality. The God story does not. There is only one testament. Old and new are man-made designations. The Bible presents one woven story. The God story is the oldest because of its scope and its Hebrew roots. There are really only two religions, worship of the living God and worship of self. All historic religions flow from this place. Our story is inseparably linked to the big story. We have meaning and significance. We are soul beings and unique in God's creation. What we do with our lives matters for this life as well as the one that is coming. It doesn't work to make God an add-on to our lives. He's either in the center of the house or He's nowhere. If God has revealed Himself, don't we owe it to ourselves to check Him out? Losing the ability to dialogue and converse about truth and faith is truly sad. Familiarity with the big story clarifies and energizes our personal stories. Knowing the God story brings personal freedom, and it opens the door to connecting with God. Jesus was not religious. Rather, He was devoted to His Father's will. Jesus spoke of the kingdom numerous times. He mentioned church only a couple of times, and most of His major confrontations happened with religious leaders. That's because all religion is insufficient, including historic Christianity. King first, kingdom next, then church.
Together we're finding hope at fourthstream.com.